Hey everyone, I'm Swati Rawat and welcome to the Visionary Podcast, where I talk to visionary Indian women with inspiring, intriguing and aspirational stories. In episode 41, our visionaries are Kimaya Hemdev and Krusha Malkani, co-founders of The Pink Thread, a collective which aims to inspire, empower, and support women in corporate India. Both Kimaya and Krusha hold senior positions at thriving organizations, Kimaya being the marketing head at Upgrad for Business, and Krusha being the director and head of Asia at Sociable. Tune in as they talk about why they started The Pink Thread, their mission in building this collective, and how they plan to bring real change through this.
Let Kimaya lead. I will follow.
Sure. Thank you so much, Swati, firstly, for having us on Visionary. And I love that question. Talking about my childhood always brings back happy memories, but it's also such a pivotal part of what makes me a human being, a woman, a person today. So I grew up in Mumbai, but a very different Mumbai than the one I know now. I think I grew up relatively sheltered without the internet, and luckily with the belief that I can do anything, be anything, say anything. My mother was sort of that living proof. She was doting at home, but she was also ambitious, driven, ran her own business. That didn't stop her from being present at all our PTA meetings, but that also didn't stop her from having her own independent social life. So I grew up with a very strong role model in my mother. My parents sort of never pigeonholed either my brother or I into any extracurriculars or activities. So we sort of grew up as jacks of all trades, in a sense. I often joke that I played every sport once, from tennis to rugby to cricket to volleyball, badminton. It doesn't end. And sort of tried my hand at everything. It was a really fulfilling childhood. We grew up really close. And then after spending my 18 years in this, the only place I knew home, I went abroad to St. Louis, Missouri. Very, very different from Mumbai.
Yeah.
No hustle bustle. I remember the first night sleeping in St. Louis. I actually couldn't get sleep because I couldn't hear any traffic noise. But it was just a 360 difference. And that's where I studied. I studied entrepreneurship. I studied computer science and international business. So really went all out there. And then on graduating, worked across the United States.
Yeah.
Finding my way back home 2 years ago. Back to Mumbai.
Yeah.
So full circle here.
Awesome. What about you, Krusha?
I think I grew up in Bombay as well. I think I still say Bombay instead of Mumbai. It's kind of a feeling. So I've lived here most of my life. I think unlike Kimaya, so I didn't play a lot of sports at all. I think the only sport, if you can call it, that I did was dance. So I participated, I think, in every dance competition. So for me, I think I grew into my niches quite early. Like I love dancing. I was good at it. I loved writing. I was good at it, debating. So I kind of grew into these niches. I was into a lot of those extracurricular activities. I was also always a good student. I think I like studying. I didn't study too hard from, you know, like I did a lot of extracurriculars, but yeah. I studied enough to make sure that I always had good grades, I think. So honestly, when I graduated from school, all I knew is I didn't want to do science. And, you know, back then we didn't have as many options as kids. It was like arts, commerce, science.
Yeah.
Arts was out if you had good grades. So yeah. It was just like not considered. Yeah. science, I knew enough to know that I just don't like physics. I hated blood. I didn't want to be a doctor, you know. So the options left me with commerce. And then when you were doing commerce, it was like, okay, commerce, if you're a good student, then do chartered accountancy. And that's exactly what I started doing. And I actually studied, and CPT, you know, the first level of CA is honestly quite easy to pass. It's more MCQs. If you study, you'll pass. It's the main battle starts after, right? Like with your IPCC, final CA. And even with my IPCC, because I'm a good student, like I like learning, I didn't realize that how much I didn't want to do CA while I was studying IPCC. But when I was giving my CA exam, I actually gave 3 out of 4 papers of my first group. And I left the fourth paper midway. So you can imagine what that was at that time, saying, how can you not complete your papers? But I just knew that if I do articleship, I'm going to hate it. And everyone's going to be like, but you passed IPCC, so just finish it. And I didn't want to give up like 3 years of my life on that. So it was true. I did pass and do well in the 3 papers. But because I walked out, that was the end of CA for me. And then I started working very early. So I started working when I was 19. Right after that. So while I was studying, I worked in public relations. That's a whole other story of how I got that job. But I did that. I did social media. And then I went abroad as well. So I went to Singapore to do my master's in international business. After which I went to Paris and I've been working since. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
So Krusha, could you tell me what are you doing now in your regular professional life?
Sure. So actually, Paris was the start of that for me. So while I started working at 19 and I worked in public relations and social media, my first real job after my graduation was with Sociable. So that's the company I work with even today. It's an employee communication, engagement and advocacy platform. So it's a SaaS platform. And I actually did my MIB, my master's in a French school, but in Singapore. And that gave me a taste of France, let's say. And I loved what I tasted. So I was just like, I want more. And I decided I need to go somewhere where I don't know anyone. I don't know the language. And so I went to Paris. I joined Sociable. I worked for the English speaking European market there. And then I decided, and I was lucky that they showed enough faith in me to bring the company to India in 2017. And that's what I've been doing ever since. And now, of course, we have a bigger team that I lead here. And we have a legal subsidiary in India now. So I'm a director of that here.
Awesome. And for the people who are probably not aware, could you tell me what Sociable is? Am I pronouncing it right? It's Sociable.
Yes, it's Sociable. So it's Sociable. The same as Sociable, just with the double B.
Okay.
So what we do, I'll explain this in simple terms. So what we do is, for example, if we work with clients, right, across the globe and in India. So let's take any company. Or if a company in India deploys Sociable, ideally they're deploying a platform to connect their employees. So this is where they connect their employees on one platform with any kind of communication they have internally, but also they help their employees to then, you know, take some of that messaging out to social media, which means, let's say Visionary is a big company today and you deploy Sociable and you have, say, 200 employees. You want your employees to be internally informed, right? So you use the platform, but you also want them, like when you win an award or you have a new show, like today when you put that up, you want them to take your message out to social media. So you want them to be your brand advocates. That's what we help with.
That's quite interesting. And you're heading that in India?
Yes. So in Asia, actually. So our office is in India, but we manage all of Asia from the India office.
Oh, that's quite cool. Kimaya, what is it that you are doing right now in your regular 9-to-5, if I may say so, Monday to Friday job?
So I would firstly say it's not a 9-to-5. how I wish it was a 9-to-5, but because I love it, I'm not complaining.
Yeah,
I actually head marketing for Upgrad for Business. It's the B2B arm of South Asia's largest higher education company. We essentially create courses, so online learning courses for working professionals. And from the B2B, the Upcat for Business side, we sell these courses to corporations. So small startups to medium size to your large MNCs, we service all of them. And our courses range from your top emerging technologies like blockchain, artificial intelligence, machine learning, to even the softer skills, what I think are the more important critical business critical skills like negotiation, communication, decision making, etc. So we kind of play in that whole spectrum. I've been with Upcat for Business since it started, before it was called Upcat for Business too. So we were actually called Upcat Enterprise for the longest time. So right from the onset of deciding what's this brand going to be named, how's it going to look, what's the logo even, to right now where we have ambitions to scale and even upskill more than 1 million professionals by the end of 2022. So it's been a crazy growth journey, both for the company and for the B2B division.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty excited to like be somewhat at the forefront of that journey.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds awesome. Both of you are taking care of a very senior, you both are at a senior leadership position at these organizations. And which intrigues me more in terms of why is it that you wanted to start something like Pink Thread when you were already taking care and taking a full load of work during your regular weekdays and your regular hours. So tell me what Pink Thread is. What is this platform? Why did you want to start this?
Kimaya, do you want to take that first? I have to say that the idea probably, so while I had the idea, the actual idea of what Pink Thread should have been at the beginning was something that germinated in Kimaya's mind. And I happened to meet her at the right time, at the right place. So I'll let her take that question.
So Swati, it was a mix of serendipity and need, I would say. So I think, so when I moved back, I used to work in New York. When I moved back here, I noticed one thing that my professional career or my professional network lacked, and it was the absence of strong female leaders and mentors who I could seek as role models, emulate in some ways, learn from, and have a path that I could look at and chart with. I would go for a lot of these conferences, you know, I would go for a lot of these summits, I would go for a lot of networking events, and they were all great in terms of the content that I consumed, the people who I met. But the one thing that was always missing from them were enough people that looked like me or that I could look like. And so that was the pure need for, hey, you know, I know these people exist, but where are they? Where are their stories? Where are the journeys of what they're doing? Yeah. How can I learn from them? And how can I be like them? And so Pink Thread is essentially our way of celebrating, bringing those things together. Currently, it's a collective to inspire, support, and empower women in corporate India.
Yeah.
The way we're going about it, I'll talk about in a little, but I wanted to give Krusha the opportunity to also talk about a little bit around the need for Pink Thread and how we sort of germinated.
No, I think firstly, like, you know, Kimaya mentioned that when she saw these at events and at, you know, these different events that used to happen through the year, actually Kimaya and I met that way as well. So we weren't, you know, friends in the past, or we weren't colleagues working in the same office, but we met through these events. And I think, if I'm not wrong, we met at multiple events through a span of a few months. And we got to talking one day at one of these events when we were both waiting for our car. I remember very well.
Yeah.
And
that's a nice meet cute, guys.
Yeah, we have a meet cute. So Kimaya told me, you know, I was waiting for my Uber, I think, and we were talking, and she told me a little bit of this before, and that's the day she, I think, told me more about what she had in mind. And I started talking about how much I resonated with that, because I too, you know, I was like you said, we were at these positions in companies in India. We both had global experience. So, you know, we had a lot of those common ties. And at the end of the day, we were both figuring out our own way in corporate India as well.
Yeah.
So we started talking about those topics, and we felt like if we have this in mind, we're sure there are other girls and women across, you know, India who mm-hmm. are looking to hear these stories as well. And if we are going to have and going to seek out these women leaders in India, then why not take the conversations that we're going to have behind closed doors that are going to benefit us, out in the open to benefit so many more people. So I think that's where it really came from. And then we met and like started actually putting that idea into an actual plan.
And when was Pink Thread started?
Right before the pandemic.
Right before. You know, it's interesting that you say this, Swati, because the plans we had when Krusha and I met for the first time were like, let's have an in-person networking event in 4 months. Yeah. Let's sit around the table and really talk about what these problems mean for us and what the solution looks like. Let's go into corporates and speak about like change. And we've had to turn that switch, kind of flip it all over, but it's been exciting.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I've had a word with Krusha about this, but when I heard about Pink Thread and I started going through the stories that you guys were featuring, I was like, oh my God, I mean, this is exactly what I have been looking for, and the mission and the vision, at least, that I'm trying to build with this podcast as well. Because when I was going through this entire journey in my own head on what I want to do next, and you know, what are the things that are happening around, are there any women leaders who are sort of doing either path breaking work or anything innovative, right? They're not just mm-hmm. those 2-3 women who just become, you only see their name and you only see their faces everywhere. And you I kept hearing about these women, my friends of friends who were, you know, talking about, hey, you know what she's doing, she's building this awesome product, she's building that, and she's doing this. And I was like, nobody's talking about them. And I did not have a mentor in my life. So probably, mm-hmm. guys, if I would have come across Pink Thread before I started podcast, I would have never started Visionary, because that was exactly what I was looking for.
Then I'm glad you didn't, because honestly, and I have to say this, because I think it's an important thing to say. So I remember, you know, of course, we got introduced, you know, through a common friend, Swati, you and I.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad she made that introduction. And not her, but I had one or two people, you know, ask me when I spoke about this collaboration in terms of, but don't you all have some ideologies that are common, you know? Yeah. And I hate that is sometimes put in a way that's a problem. I think that's a great thing, because we need more, platforms like this that have similar ideologies. And it's what we always say at the Pink Thread, that we need to collaborate and not compete. So of course it starts within and it starts here. So I'm just really glad that we are all sitting here and having this conversation.
Yeah. And I mean, at least for me, it's so much exciting, and it makes me want to do my work more and more, because I believe that it just makes me feel like I'm not alone. You know, there is a community out there that women are building for women, which fires me up at least to keep doing the work and not stop, because I don't feel like I'm sitting in one silo producing and, you know, recording out of my living room, and nobody out there, you know, gives a shit. And nobody is looking for these stories, and nobody else wants it. So at least it's a huge, at least validation on the concept. And it's a good, it makes me feel like I'm part of a bigger community and a bigger movement that is getting built out there. And that's why I was so excited to speak to you guys.
Mm-hmm. No, likewise. I think we can just do a lot more together. So
yeah,
that's great.
So guys, I wanted to know more about Pink Thread, and I wanted to ask you a couple of questions, not just for myself, but also for somebody else out there who might be interested in Pink Thread and were looking to read stories of such women and were not finding it. So could you, for the audience and for me, help me understand, how many stories have you featured so far, and how do you even shortlist these profiles?
It's a great question. Okay, I'll take part of it, and maybe I'll let Kimaya come in for the second half. So like we said, you know, we started this only last year, right? When the pandemic hit, I think we've interviewed up 28 or more women so far. I'll let Kimaya give you the right number.
I think we're at 30.
You're 30?
With a few unpublished
I'm always wrong.
We've interviewed, yeah.
Always wrong with the numbers and the date of when we started. I always get it wrong. Anyway, so we've been about like 30 women now. And I think how we've chosen them. So there's a lot we want to do. This has been the first year journey. And in the first year, we've tried to seek out the leaders whose stories we wanted to know. Right, because we just felt like because that was the starting thought, that these are the leaders, these are the people we want to kind of dissect their story and understand what they did right, what they did wrong, and learn. So we reached out to leaders like Radhika Gupta or like a Dipali Nair, these women whose names, like you said, names you hear and the faces you hear. We've sat down with them to understand that they made mistakes to what were they, or they did certain things really right, so what is it that they've done? So I think our criteria was two things, if I'm being honest. One is these women who have amazing stories, and it was also a bonus if they did have a social media presence, because at the end of the day, we want this, at least at the beginning, to reach as many women as we can, and the best way to do that is to collaborate, like we discussed. So if we can collaborate with the right leaders who can get our messaging out to even more women and even more girls out there, then that's kind of what we were looking for in the beginning, stories that could move and people who could take those stories to make it reach the places we wanted it to reach.
And where does it get published? Pink Thread, for the audience, if they want to access it, how can they access these stories?
That's a great question, Swati. So we publish it in two places. The prime source is our website, www.thepinkthread.in, and our LinkedIn channel, which is also just at the Pink Thread. We decided to go in more of a self-publishing route because we feel like we have a lot more control over the way we display the narrative, and also in the future we'd like a lot of interaction from the narrative, and that's something you don't always get. So we've seen on LinkedIn we can have site conversations through the comments, through that whole section. People can talk a lot more about it. We also know that most professionals are on LinkedIn. So it was really important for us to have the stories where they can be seen and where they want to be heard. So that's essentially why we've chosen these two platforms. Like Krusha said, we do have plans for Pink Thread 2.0 or as the Pink Thread grows. So that's why the website, because that gives us a good springboard to launch all the exciting things that we probably will in the future.
And maybe something I'll mention there is, I know we've spoken about all the women that we've been talking to right last year, but now what we've added and we've started doing, and hopefully we'll be doing a lot more of also, is we've been speaking to a few companies since the beginning of 2021, because we also want to go into what's happening on the ground, right? So we want to go to the women's stories, but we also want to make sure real change is happening in corporate India, in the offices or in the remote offices today. So we are trying to dig into those stories as well to understand more about the policies in place when it comes to women at work and diversity and inclusion. So that's also another part that we are exploring right now.
Definitely. And springboarding of that is research, right? Like Krusha mentioned, a big part of what we want to do is kind of understand what's happening and why it's happening. And that's the research, but also we want to influence the hows. What should be the policy? Things are a certain way, and this is why things are the way they are. This is why our offices or our pay structures or our promotion mechanisms work the way they do. But how should they be? And how can we influence that to a small degree?
When you speak about creating real change and understanding that and measuring that, how does it really manifest in the real world, especially during the time of COVID?
Sorry, Kamaya, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'll take a step back and tell you where it's coming from. I think that will give you some, and also our listeners, some good context of why we're doing what we're doing and where we want to go. So our vision of the Pink Thread was never to be another platform just for women empowerment, just to propone women's stories. I think we realized a big part of this was involving men in the change and hearing their side of the story, creating allies, and realizing where the disconnect is. So the reason we want to do this research, the reason we want to go deeper and invest in the whys and the whats, is because we want to change the dialogue. And the two places where the dialogue matters the most are the workplace and the homes. We know that corporate India is not a great place for women right now, but that doesn't mean it always needs to be that way. And that's exactly what Krusha was talking about. That's why we want to start the dialogues with corporations. We want to be able to go in and understand their policies, sort of help them create and make real change. And then on the other side, we also want to work in a little bit of a research and a little bit of a policy angle as well, to sort of understand how these things are being measured today. So there's not enough data, to be honest, that's being collected in the Indian subcontinent around women's participation in the workforce, around women and how it relates to labor laws, especially in the context of corporate India. There is a lot of focus in the entrepreneur and the startup ecosystem. And I think that's where we want to sort of focus our energies, because we're both corporate women and we do recognize that corporate is such a great space and it can be made a great space also for women.
Yeah.
And so that's where we want to begin our efforts. I'll let Krusha go deeper into how we want to sort of make this happen.
Yeah, I think just firstly on that, because I think Maya made a really pertinent point, because it's something we really stand for, that yes, the change needs to happen in the corporate world, but it needs to happen at home as well. And that's actually why we balance between the personal stories, right, that give us more insight into the homes, and then the corporate change we want to make. Because, for example, we can keep talking about the change that needs to happen at work, but at the end of the day, and this is not saying that the corporate environment doesn't need change at all, but still taking an example and saying that, you know, your offices are not asking women to stay back later than men. It's your houses that are asking women to come back before men, right? Or if we talk about, like Maya said, on the policy front, this is something, why are we keen on this? Because out of the 30 women, only 30 women leaders that we've interviewed so far, I can say probably half of them during their interviews spoke about how problematic the maternity leave law is. Now, these are discussions that are really important to have, because on paper, if you say that, you know, India gives a 6-month maternity law, it sounds great, right? That's good news. But if you dig deeper, this is causing hiring bias, especially with smaller companies, you know, who I can understand can't afford to, you know, hire someone who's not going to be there for six months, right? So we want to dig deeper. We don't, in order to answer, you know, the how, we don't have all the answers, but I think our how is to get the answers. So we're going to work with corporates and the leaders to find out that, okay, if this is not working, what can work? Doesn't paternity leave law then create an equal playing ground? Like, is that, you know, what is required? Or is there more government support that's required? Or do we have the laws but they're not being interpreted right? Like, what is the problem, and then how can we begin to solve it?
Yeah, I mean, the work that you guys are already doing and what you have in the pipeline, it's quite awesome, guys. I mean, I for one would be looking forward to it.
Thanks, Swati.
Thank you.
So, tell me something.
I hope we can do all of that.
I'm sure you guys will. I just, out of curiosity, I want to ask you guys, and of course, I am being asked this question all the time, but I want to understand this from you as well so that I can be more efficient. So, it's more of a personal, selfish question. So, tell me, with so much regular work on your weekday happening all the time, and because you're at a vested position where you are taking care of a lot of decision making, and these are high level decision making, so that requires not just a Monday to Friday sort of like a work, but you're, it's almost like throughout your life you're in that work mode and mindset, because you keep on thinking, you keep on innovating, there are new problems coming up, you're tackling them, so you're doing that all the time, and simultaneously you have Pink Thread, which you both of you are running and taking care of, and while you're doing that, you're also creating a solid foolproof plan for the future as well on where you want to lead this. How do you manage your personal and professional lives? How do you balance it?
So I think first, just for the Pink Thread, I think I have to say, Kimaya and I have been lucky to, you know, be that without, I mean, like I said, you know, we weren't friends in the past, or we hadn't worked together. We just found like this mutual energy and mutual passion and vision, and, and we took a leap. And I think we were lucky it worked out, in the sense that, of course, we both have, you know, our jobs and our lives beyond that as well. And we've managed to, you know, when one person cannot put in the effort, the other does, and vice versa. And I think first, we've been very lucky with that, because we've managed to you know, take up for the other person when required. So there's someone to fall back on, which has been useful. I think another thing that we've, again, both been lucky with is we work with companies that are supporting what we're doing, which again is important, because both Sociable and Upgrad, they've been really supportive with the fact that this is something we're trying to promote. And they know, of course, our day job comes first, in the sense we put in the hours and we prioritize it. But they are supportive of the passion project we have, which also, I think, goes a long way. So I just wanted to start with that, and I'll let Kimaya add.
Yeah, no, I think Krusha touched on two very, very important points. I think the third, Swati, is the fact that we care a lot about it. So
yeah,
I don't think about it as really, oh, it's my second job. Oh, I've had a long day, a lot of meetings, and now I have to do this. I love doing it. Like talking to these women, even designing the creatives, sometimes looking at the pictures that people send with their families and, you know, with their daughters, their sons, their everybody, just gives us, it gives me a lot of happiness. It gives me a lot of insight into their lives. And it kind of shows me that whatever journey people have had, wherever they've come from, whatever they've been through, hell, they've been successful for a reason and they've made it. So I love doing what I do with the Pink Thread, and that sort of helps. From a efficiency standpoint, I think it's always a learning process. So balancing everything, I think compartmentalizing really helps. So not taking, I would say, the problems and the stresses from one zone of work or life into another, and vice versa. It also helps to sort of create like time-bound periods where you work. So this is something Krusha taught me actually when we had a lot going on. She'd say, take just half an hour every day and focus on it. And that was a game changer for me. Instead of spending many, many hours at one time on the weekend trying to snag everything out,
just
time bound, spending a little bit of time every day made it a lot more enjoyable and also helped me get a lot more done. So I would say it's a work in progress. You definitely make us sound.
Yeah, it's not as perfect as you make it sound, for sure. Like I said, we've been lucky, but we're still figuring it out, and it changes every week or every month. In fact, I have to tell you this. So there was one of the women leaders we featured. I think it was Meenal, if I'm not wrong. It's just so nice that I interviewed her in gaps, like over the day. We both had our own work calls going on, and we did like 20 minutes, and then we kept, and then we did 20 minutes and then half an hour, and managed to get like everything we wanted.
Oh wow.
So it's not always, you know, we've also had that. So I remember that really well. And I mean, this is not Pink Thread related, but something that helps me, and if it helps someone else, is I've really started to put my phone away as much as I can when I'm not doing a task. So
touché.
Yeah.
I think if I'm with people like my friends or my family, or I, or even just after dinner, I put my phone away. I don't see it first thing in the morning for the first 30 minutes. So not really passion project only related, but it's life changing. So I would tell everybody to try it.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially limiting your social media. I mean, one trick that has worked for me personally is Instagram. What I've done is I have logged myself out of my Instagram app, my personal profile.
Oh, I've deleted the app completely.
And then open it only through my web browser. So it's like work. When I shut down my laptop, I don't open Instagram. It's there. I check it out like 2 to 3 times in a day. Like how I would check a news website or something. And when I close that tab, the Instagram story is done. And you know, my
I have a writing page on Instagram that I post to every day. So I still have the app. I've not deleted it. But
so I've kept the app because of Visionary. But my personal profile, I've signed it out of the app. I'm like, I don't need you on my mobile smart. Because if you're there, I'm going to spend like 5 hours every day on Instagram doing I don't know what.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great tip. Do you know you can even hide apps on your phone? So like you said, you either got to go to your web browser, so it's creating an extra step for yourself, or actually go to the app store and find the app before you access it. So I guess just creating that friction, because we're so used to having things easy. Yeah, I mean, that helps. I also love screen time. I mean, you know, we all need it for some reason and we will use it every day, but just being cognizant of, am I spending 5 minutes a day or am I spending 5 hours a day? Can be a game changer.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, keeping the phone away works best for me. I tried the, like, you know, the limiting where it cuts you off from using the app, but then you have the power to kind of go change the timing, and I ended up doing it. So I was like, no, I'm just gonna like keep the phone where I cannot reach it, so it's in the drawer when I am in a call or, you know, any, because it's actually become, I started realizing that sometimes when I was on a call, if I'm a passive, you know, listener in a certain call, I would still like go for the phone and, you know, see something.
Scroll away.
Scroll, or like something came and I was like, this is not okay. So that's when I realized, and I was like, okay, if I'm on a call, my phone is turned backwards and it's away.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, exactly. Best way.
I mean, guys, I absolutely loved this conversation. And just to end this, I want to ask one last question. Considering what is happening around the world because of COVID, considering what your own ambitions are, what are the goals that you have set for yourself?
Go for it, Krusha.
I was just going to say every question I'm going to pass. Okay, I'll take it. Oh, what are my goals? So, okay, I'll say two things here. One is, honestly, since you mentioned the pandemic, something I have to say here is, so I'm a planner. I love making plans. I love making lists, and I still obviously do it. But what the last year has taught me is that at any point in time, you're going to have to throw that plan out of the window. And, you know, you'll be, as long as you keep going out and getting another one, you'll be okay. So that's my first plan, which is that if your plan doesn't work out, there'll be another. You just keep going at it and figure out that it's meant to be. But outside of that, so I think there are a few things for me. Of course, everything that we spoke of for Pink Thread. So I have big dreams for that. Sociable for me is like my first baby, in terms of, you know, it's the first thing that I was so deeply involved with. I got it to India. Today, the internal communication and the employee advocacy space, you know, digital transformation is really growing. And since we've been pioneers, you know, and I've got to see that journey from the point where India didn't even acknowledge terms like employee advocacy. So to see it grow now, I think I have big plans and numbers in terms of where I want that to reach. Also because that, you know, for me, the reason that excites me is it is the way companies interact with their employees, right?
Yeah.
And in a way, if you tie the knots, they're all closely related. Like at the end of the day, in Pink Thread also, that's something what we are trying to do. So for me, I'd love to see Indian organizations and Asian organizations really change the way they connect with their employees through Sociable. So that's something I have in mind. And outside of that, I love writing. So I write a lot on my Instagram page. I have a writing page. I've published some short stories with Penguin and Harper's, and I hope to have like a debut novel and more to come in the years to come, hopefully, if what I write is accepted. So
some goals you have, Krisha.
Like I said, these are not shame, right? We'll see.
And what's your Instagram handle? I mean, if you can just tell that of to course. The audience, and they might just follow.
Yes, I hope so. So it's called Write the World Pink. So of course there's pink there as well, but there's an underscore sign after every word. So it's write_the_world_pink.
So guys, if you're listening to this, you should definitely check it out, because Krisha is an amazing writer. She's the one who also did my story for Pink Thread. And I mean, through the conversation, you know that she's also a lovely person. So go check out her page and follow her on Instagram.
Thank you so much. You're very, very kind.
Kimaya, what about you?
I was just saying, I can second that. I see a Write the World Pink post almost every morning, and it does make my day a little bit happier. Or a little bit more insightful, depending on what's on Krusha's mind that morning. But it's never something I regret.
Yes, Kimaya, I know what's on my mind, so we can plan the Pink Thread Day according.
Totally. So for me, Swati, I would say on the professional front, I think education has always been something that's very, very close to my heart. And transforming the way India sees education is sort of, I would say, one of my life's missions. So growing upgrad and growing upgrad for business in that context is something I'm going to spend a lot of time on. We just closed in on our annual plans as well, which are crazy and ambitious and very, very exciting. So lots in store on that end. On the personal front, I think post this pandemic, something I've realized is it's the little things and it's the few things that matter in life. So this year for me is all about investing in quality friendships, investing in quality relationships, investing in quality people and things, and spending a lot of time on them. I used to be someone who was very excited to dip her toes in everything, even if it was just for like the taste of it. But yeah, I think that's going to change a little bit this year. And yeah, I'm going to try to seek a lot of adventure.
I hope so. I hope until then we're seeking adventure in the everyday. But to add to that, I really hope we are able to travel and like get more adventure out of that as well. But I think Maya made a really good point. You know, it's something that I've been doing, even it's something I always believed in, but the last year has kind of reaffirmed that it's amazing to make goals and go after them, and it drives you, it makes you want to get up every morning, but it's also important to enjoy the present as much, if not more. So I hope we can all do that.
If you'd like to read stories of inspirational women, you can visit thepinkthread.com. You'll find the link in the episode description. Thanks for listening in, and please subscribe to the show to catch the next episode. You can follow us on Instagram to stay in touch and get all the updates. Our Instagram handle is vision.nari. That's vision.nari. If you know a visionary that I should feature on this podcast, write to me at thevisionarypodcast@gmail.com. That's thevisionarypodcast@gmail.com. This podcast is produced by Launchora, a storytelling and creative learning platform. Theme music is created by Diala Swain. She's a uniquely talented music producer from New Zealand. Do check out her music on SoundCloud or follow the link in the description. I'll see you guys soon with a new visionary. Have a great day.